From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bernstein again. Big opening. Pass by. Pass 10. Furlong's a man. And he goes all the way to the 15-yard line. 17-yard.
Welcome back to Believe in Badgers on the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag and Oak Bridge Wealth Management. I'm Matt Perkins, joined, as always, by Badger legend, the Hebrew Hammer himself, Matt Bernstein. Bernie, how are we doing today, buddy?
Yeah, buddy, good. We're doing good, man. Another day in paradise on paternity leave. Get to talk to you about Badger football. Although this is like a weird downtime when you kind of, there's like not much going on. You know, finals are over. This is the time we can get into it. This was my favorite time of the year outside of like the season, because you would just, you were able to leave the university, not work out that hard. I mean, you still had a lot to do. And then just go and like just drink with your friends and get drunk in fields and then come back and be dead serious, you know, starting June 1st or whatever, June 6th or 9th or whatever day they needed you back, you were back and it was game time. But that those like 3 weeks, you could do basically whatever you wanted and it was a blast.
Yeah, it definitely was. Even as a non-student, kind of between that time of when finals ended and when I would, well, summer classes, let's face it. I took summer classes a couple of times. I took organic chemistry one summer. I don't know why I put myself through that. It wasn't even for my major. I'm a weird guy. But I actually had a good summer doing that. So doesn't matter. Nonetheless, we are back.
We can talk about summer. I can tell you summer stories all day.
Well, you know what? We'll probably get to one of those here in just a minute. Before we do, though, got to remind the good folks tuning in around the world that we are presented by betonline.ag. They are your number one source for NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, every live odd you could possibly imagine. While the games are going on, it's over there at BetOnline. When the game's over, head on over to the online casino. Get in on the blackjack, maybe some poker, or unwind with over 150 different slot games. Head on over to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. A little bit different tagline these days. No longer where the game starts, but the game starts here. Also, we start here with our main man, Chris Anicetti, over at Oak Bridge Wealth Management. If you are a professional or future professional athlete, make sure you get locked in with Chris to get all of your money right. That's Chris Anicetti, Oak Bridge Wealth Management, on Instagram at @Oakridge_Anicetti, A-N-I-C-E-T-E. Get your money right with Oak Bridge Wealth Management. Bernie, shout out to our fans for helping us get some content right for this episode we've got here. Little mailbag. We've done a couple of these before. I always love it. I love hearing from the good people who have been tuning in. Got some great questions this week, Bern. I'm not going to lie. I think this might be the best lot we've gotten so far. So I'm going to start with a question from Ian on Instagram. Ian wants to know, what are the chances of Tyler Van Dyke balling out this year and being, you know, an upper echelon quarterback in the Big Ten? Now, you and I are usually, you know, pretty glass half full. Like, glass half full for most people is like, we're like glass like 85, 90% full, no matter what. So, but Bernie, what do you think the odds are of Tyler Van Dyke turning into, let's say, a top three quarterback in the conference and being a true difference maker?
You know what? Damn it, Ian, for starting with such a hard question and such a good question. This is really difficult because, you know, coming out of spring ball when we talked with Jake, it seemed like it was neck and neck with Braylon Locke.
Braden.
That's Braden. That was Braylon Allen. So that concerns me. If I'm being totally honest, that concerns me. But on the flip side, this dude came from a different university and was only here for a couple months, let's say, to gear up for spring ball, which is, and again, to me, spring ball is not a teaching time. It's more of a, let's see what fits, what works, who's balling out. You're giving all these dudes a chance. You're not really going over the offense. That's what fall camp is for. What are the chances? Here's what I am happy about. I love the coaching staff. I think they've only upgraded positions. I think our new O-line coach is fantastic. I think the O-line's going to be better. So to me, that's very helpful for a quarterback. I think our running back room is deep, which will be helpful. And I think our wide receivers are dangerous. All of them are going to be dangerous. So you have all these different weapons. The only piece I'm very nervous about is the quarterback. Is the quarterback position. Matt, you're laughing. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because obviously you and I think a lot in the same. It's weird to think that the offensive line could be better, even though they lost their best player in a lot of ways in Bortolini. Now he struggled snapping the ball at center. Oh my God, I'm a broken record. But he was an outstanding blocker. Now you get Jake Renfro in there. And I think, okay, more broken record from me. I think having Jake Renfro at center with better snaps is going to mean better quarterback play because the timing will be there. And the timing wasn't there on the lollipop snaps that we got last year. And I think that is a huge advantage for whoever is playing quarterback. Now, I think Van Dyke has the arm strength and the physical abilities, even much more so even than Mordecai, right? Van Dyke, when he's at his best, can really lace the deep ball, and he can really hit those like 15, 20, 22 yard out patterns that are so hard to defend. But in order to get those to work, you have to have an offensive line that can keep him upright for 2.5-3 seconds. And we didn't see that last year. Blazek, right. I like a lot of the new coaches. Like you mentioned, Bernie, I think that Luke Fickell and Phil Longo had to do a lot of stuff that probably was uncomfortable for them last year. That was probably not what they were used to, not having the athletes they're used to at their previous schools, not having sort of the, you know, overall ethos of the program that they were used to. So there were a lot of kinks to work out. I think getting Van Dyke, who at his best his freshman year in Rhett Lashley's system, which is a very similar to that of Phil Longo, gives him a good shot at being one of the top, let's say, top three quarterbacks in the conference. Looking around the conference, Big Ten, it's in a weird place. Like, new starters everywhere. Like, everywhere. I think Penn State starter returns, who's, you know, was okay but not great in his first year. Mm-hmm. Got a couple, like, scattered. But, I mean, like, even in our old school, our West, which doesn't even exist anymore, I don't think that any school in the West has a returning starter.
Listen, can he be top three in the conference? Oh, totally. I think he can. If that's the question,
yeah,
then yes. Yes. Top three, top five for sure. I would say yes. The question is, does top three get us to win 10 plus
games?
That's
a good question.
And so, listen, I think this is me. It's year two. I think there's a lot of things still that the coaching staff needs. Like Claire said it, dude, we still have things we need to tie up and fix and clean up to get it to where Coach Fickell, right? We need to give him 3 years, 5 years, 3 to 5 years. But from everything we've seen, they are doing as much as possible. They're getting recruits. We just got a 4-star slot receiver commit 2 days ago?
Yeah, a couple of days ago. Yeah, just
you're talking about four-star guys are coming to Wisconsin, and we had a horrible record last year. We lost a bowl game. Like, those are all things that Coach Alvarez preached for recruiting, to do better, to get better guys in. I remember a couple of years ago, we only had one four-star, and everyone else was a three-star. Not saying that's bad, but when you're looking at dudes, and now the data's there, Clint told us the data's there on every single guy from the second he's born. You know, people know how much formula he's eating. To, you know, it's bananas what they have data on. So to me, could he be a top five guy? Yes. Could we win 8-9 games still? It's a possibility. I'm happy at the trajectory of what I'm seeing from the recruiting staff and who they're bringing in, the portal guys. But I think Van Dyke could be awesome this year. I mean, he's got intangibles, yeah, that I think go well with what we have. But you're talking about Longo with this in his second year, the O-line in his second year, the wide receiver. All these dudes have all this now experience under their belt. Chez Malusi's coming back. I mean, you're talking about weapons, dude, like weapons across the board. And if the O-line can stay healthy and stay consistent, dude, you're looking at an offense that could be scary good.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they utilize personnel, because I think, you know, the thinnest position they have right now at offense is tight end. I really don't know. I don't think they have a true TE1. Ashcraft, you know, showed some flashes as a freshman, but he was still a true freshman last year. McGowan, the transfer from LSU, is in a lot of ways more of the jumbo slot position that I love to talk about with Clint than he is a true tight end. Riley Nowakowski is still a converted fullback at the end of the day. And, you know, he's a solid blocker, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, burning anyone with his route running ability. So, you know, they've got the two freshmen who are in there as well. But I think the tight end position is going to be one to watch a little bit, but it's not the one that's going to be most critical to the success of the offense as a whole. I think that comes down to Van Dyke and the offensive line, kind of like it always does, you know, for the Badgers, for a lot of different teams. Obviously, it starts in the trenches, is the old, you know, the old saying, and whether or not that's still true in an air raid system, I still like to believe that it is true in a lot of ways. Okay. Next question from Alex. They want to know what new starter will have the biggest impact on the season. I think we should look outside of Tyler Van Dyke. Obviously, the quarterback has the most impact no matter what. So yeah, if we go back and look at, let's talk new starters. We'll go through them. I guess Chez was sort of a co-starter last year. I don't really consider like Chez like a new starter. He's been around for a while. We've got a couple guys on the offensive line, Joe Brunner, Jake Renfro as well. On the defensive side of the ball, we're going to have, I think, Kurt Neal. You can call him a new starter. We got a bunch of different linebackers who are coming in and starting. So personally, Byrne, you know, I hope this isn't your pick as well, but I'm going to pick Jaheim Thomas, the middle linebacker transfer from Arkansas, before that Cincinnati. He is just he's the kind of inside linebacker that the 3-3 needs, like more so than anything else, or the 2-4-5 or whatever they're going to end up running this year. He is the big physical fast body that they haven't had there at the middle linebacker position in a long time, if not ever. I'm not sure I've ever seen a Wisconsin middle linebacker look like Jaheim Thomas at 6'4", 240, 245, who can run. So I'll go with Thomas. Bernie, I'm curious though, your thoughts here.
I mean, so let me just go offense first. It has to be the QB. That's the most important position on the field. But outside of that, I think Tyree is huge for us. And I think Renfro. I mean, you're talking about the anchor on the line. And from what we saw in the bowl game, I'm very happy that he is the guy who's going to step in. I think he gets what Fickell's, you know, trying to do. Obviously, he came with him from Cincinnati. That dude, that piece right there, to me, is going to make the O-line that much better. And I loved what I saw in the bowl game. My pick on the defense is the entire D line. I mean, I think those dudes, they gotta figure it out, and they gotta be in the right position and stay in the right, and trust that what the coaches are saying is what they need to be doing. Right. I love who they brought in, and I love the linebacking who they brought in. And I think we have good dudes there already. But I'm excited. Listen, I think the D line is going to be a whole new D line. They're going to be so much better than I mean, they have to be.
You know, the bar is pretty low on that one.
So that's why it's important. I think that, you know, we're saying that it starts in the trenches, and the D line and the O line is what's going to – look at Michigan. Hate them, and I'm going to always be a broken record on that. But their O-line and D-line physically dominated every team they played. That O-line was the most confident. They were destroying Alabama.
Yeah.
Then they destroyed – they destroyed Washington's defensive front.
Yeah, I mean, they were the best probably unit in the country of at any position group last year.
Right.
I mean, so many, even after Zach Zinner got injured, who was arguably their best lineman, they were still completely dominant. And that's, you know, I think that is coaching mentality, and it's Coach Herbs. Because
we don't have to dive into that, but I'm saying, if that's a national championship team, mm-hmm. right? And you watch them, if we're even three quarters good as that team, we're going to dominate the front. And I think they can do it. But the D line needs to be, you know, everyone. And I'm really interested to see, you got to remind me, the dude from Toledo. I think he could be really good for us.
From Toledo. Oh, the cornerback, DeLancey.
Yes.
RJ DeLancey.
I'm tired, man. I got a baby. I wake up all the time, but I think he could be awesome.
He could
be. I'm excited to see.
You know what? I was expecting him to be in the slot, but from all reports, he's been playing a lot at outside corner, which I didn't really expect to happen. It's going to be interesting to see how they use those D-backs. Austin Brown is probably the guy to really keep an eye on. Does he start at safety? Does he start at slot corner? He played slot corner in the bowl game against LSU. Had some ups and downs there. He's sort of always been a safety, a natural safety. But that being said, there's already, you know, that safety room is already very deep. Everyone knows about Hunter Waller, but you guys got guys like Preston Zachman, who played a ton of snaps last year, Kamoi Latu, who's played a ton of college football, and for, you know, all of his warts sometimes in missing tackles and blown coverages, he's about as hard a hitter as you're going to see from the secondary, and he can really make impact plays that turn the momentum of games around. The one guy I think on the offense that I didn't mention, that you haven't mentioned, that I am curious to see is at a less glamorous position, left guard Joe Brunner. He was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, offensive lineman, like old school Wisconsin type of kid. He was coached by our friend Adam Albrecht, who was on the podcast, gosh, a year and a half ago with us. He's been training with Adam. He was training with Adam for a while as well. He is a physical kid who is going to get after it. I'm excited to see what he can do at left guard. I think he has the requisite athleticism to really, you know, shine in the system, because as much as he can be a mauler, he's really light on his feet. And I think the pass blocking should be improved, hopefully, especially, you know, that, you know, he's the future at left guard starting now, but him and Kevin Haywood next year could be a really special left side of the offensive line as well. I'm hoping for Jack Nelson to take a couple steps forward after, let's face it, a couple disappointing seasons for him at left tackle. I mean, he was given a lot of pressures last year. Part of that was timing with snaps, but part of that was also just he was getting out-athleted. We especially saw it in the Washington State game last year when their athletes were just killing us at the line of scrimmage. So I think that is going to be a place where we're going to see Coach Blazek and obviously Coach Collins, the work that they've been putting in the offseason, see what progress the Badgers have made there. And that is going to go a long way to dictating how good this team is, even against a wicked schedule, Alabama, Oregon, Penn State, like a lot of these really, really outstanding teams. It's not going to be easy this year. It's not going to be easy this year, but the Badgers, you know, are going to have to get through it and are going to have to go do it.
And I know this is probably not even, nobody cares that much, but we got to get our special teams.
I care.
I know you do. We got, first off, I would like to see a kicker kick it out of bounds. Kick it out of the end zone.
Through the end zone.
Every single time. Yep. Every time. And someone, a very trustworthy dude, who's just going to kick field goals and extra points and most of the time get it in. I don't need 100%, but I would like it to be solid. I want to trust somebody in special teams, you know, and hopefully, you know, Vinny Anthony's returning or whoever's returning. We're putting, dude, we put all our starters on, most of them. And if they weren't starters, they were like the guys who were ready to play, who just had like Jeff Mack in front of him. Jeff Mack was on the punt team. So like we had starters playing on special teams because the dudes returning them were important to us. Not everyone was a starter, but a lot of them were. You're Jimmy Leonard, you have Brandon Williams returning. You're not putting out, you know, your third string dudes, you're putting out your first string guys.
Yeah.
So I would like to see the special teams just a little bit better. And a lot better would be helpful for our team, I think.
I think a lot better. I think a lot better is necessary. Okay. That the special teams unit has not been great over the past couple of
seasons. Let's say it's been overlooked for the last 2 years.
I think that is a beautiful word. A beautiful word, Bernie. Okay, next question we've got. This is for Bernie. Bernie, what were the top five stadiums you played in? I think we should exclude Camp Randall because we all know that's number one with a bullet. So what were your five favorite stadiums that you played in?
Five favorite. I would say number one was, to me, Ohio State.
Okay, it
was
the horseshoe, yeah.
Crazy loud. We won, so that always makes everything better. But what a cool environment to be in and to win in. I loved West Virginia. I thought that was wild and hilarious and crazy. You know, outside of that, like, everywhere is cool. I mean, you're playing in front of, you know, thousands and thousands of people. And it's just, you know, places I hated, which probably were great. Iowa was a horrible place to play. Northwestern was horrible to play. You know, all the bowl games were great. The Alamo Bowl, I love that game. And I love that stadium. But I would say those are, you know, it's cool to play in Michigan, but I don't. You know, I hate Michigan again.
And that stadium doesn't get as loud as people.
No, think. Listen, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's cool. Purdue was cool. You know, some of the smaller stadiums are really fun.
Did you ever play at Penn State?
Yes. Never. That's a great place to play. We won there too. It's wild. So these places are, when you win, it makes those much more memorable. But I'll tell you what, as a fan, going to Maryland and being able to drink in the stands, I'll tell you, that place is top tier for me. Although that stadium should be like lit on fire as a dump. And Rutgers, you know, like, it's fun to be in the stadiums to see them. But if I was where I would have liked to play, if that's a question, Yankee Stadium and that bowl game would be Miami. I think that would be so special to play in Yankee Stadium. I mean, as a New Yorker, right?
Yeah, like, of course.
It's not a good bowl game. And I've been to it a bunch of times. It's a lot of fun if you're coming to town. But those, I would say Ohio State, West Virginia, Penn State's definitely up there. The Alamo Bowl, wherever that's played, I loved. Tampa, that stadium was cool.
Raymond James or whatever it's called now, yeah.
With the big pirate ship in it. Like, that was cool. Purdue's pretty cool.
Purdue's weird, man. Purdue is in the middle of nowhere.
It is in the middle of nowhere. That's for sure. Michigan was cool to play at. You know, like, these are historic places that – so all those places. I never didn't enjoy going anywhere to play. I always thought it was so
even
cool
Northwestern.
To be able to – listen, you're playing at – you know, I always thought it was so cool to go somewhere, you know, a different environment. I would rather play all the games at Camp Randall, let's be real. But to go places and to go only, what, 2-3 times a year, or you're in your 4 years or 5 years – I didn't travel my first year. So imagine, like, what would have been to go when we went to Oregon that first year. Would have been awesome, right? I didn't go. Hawaii, so cool. Can't say the stadium was anything special, but, like, these trips were great. It's probably more than
same with Vegas, UNLV.
See, I actually got hurt and didn't go to the game. They didn't travel me when the lights went out. So I wasn't there for that.
That's brutal. I did not realize that.
Yeah, I got hurt at Fresno State, just a hyperextended knee, and then I didn't travel, and then I was back, you know, against West Virginia at home the week after.
What was that, 2002?
That was 2002.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Awesome. Yeah, I will say, as a fan, obviously I haven't played in any of these stadiums, but outside of Camp Randall, my favorite fan experiences have been the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think the Rose Bowl is just incredibly special as a stadium. And even if your team loses, it's pretty epic as just a place to watch a game, like, surrounded by the mountains. It's incredibly beautiful. It's a weird, like, the concessions there are not great. Like, it feels like there are a bunch of like just like little stands and stuff like that surrounding the outside. But there's something, God, I feel so corny saying this, but there's something special about that place, you know, especially because you guys, you know, obviously have a poster behind me. I went to UCLA for grad school. I went to a lot of Bruin games there, a lot of ones that they lost, but a couple that they won as well. But that place is always just an awesome time. Even as much as I hate USC, the LA Coliseum is really cool. The LA Coliseum is a really, really cool place. And then inside the Big Ten, I actually love Kinnick Stadium. I love Iowa Stadium. I think that's a really great place to take in a game. As much as I dislike Iowa, that stadium that stadium is my favorite Big Ten stadium outside of Camp Randall that I've been to.
They mess with you the best there. They really mess with you so well. It's like how we know the goalie's mom's name at the
hockey game. Yeah.
In hockey games. They are so close to you that anything that happens, coach talks to you, anything, they are all over you. It's actually kind of funny, but it can be very frustrating at a point. But their facilities, at least 20 years ago, was disgusting. I mean, you're going to the bathroom with no door on your stall. Like, that stuff really plays with your mental. And actually, it didn't get me off my game. It got me more mad to go into games and be like, you didn't put a bathroom door on my stall. I'm going to kill somebody today. You know, like, it's just those things always made me kind of laugh.
Even the pink locker room.
First off, the locker room, I don't care what color it is. The fact that it was so tight, it looked like a small high school locker room. I'm talking about small. You're bumping into everyone and you have big dudes in there, like huge guys.
Yeah.
And it was a complete disaster. I mean, I remember just sitting outside, like trying to put my pads on because you were so tight in there. Teams are trying to get you uncomfortable. It makes sense. I'll tell you what, Arizona was fun when we had to delay the game because it was flooded in the locker room. It's pretty, I mean, like more of these stadiums, it's just cool to see different stadiums and go play away games is always a good time. And I think the fans enjoy it. That's why bowls are fun, right?
You get to
go for a week or a couple of days to go to all these places. I actually had a blast at the Rose Bowl when I went as a fan for TCU. Up until we lost, everything was great. I mean,
it was.
Listen, we're all fans. The second you lose a game, and especially at Wisconsin, it is horrible. There is nothing. No one wants to drink anymore. No one wants to hang out. People want to just go home and go to sleep. And I get it. I, however, want to continue drinking, and I don't want to stop with my beers. But if everyone's going to go home, I can't be by myself. That's a little bit weird.
So you are in the win or lose, we still booze category.
I am in that.
See, I am.
We should say that in high school. Me.
No. I get so viscerally upset when we lose, especially a game that we should win. Last year's Indiana game, for instance, that I cannot do anything besides ruminate on. And I don't want to, like, I don't want to drink. Man, I don't want to party.
You ever see, I just, now that I'm up almost all night watching TV shows, you ever see Blue Mountain State?
I've seen clips of it, but I'm familiar.
It is horrible and it is hilarious. It is a spoof basically on college football. This team's like basically the best team in the country every year. And they do horrible. They do terrible things. It's hilarious. But they have like a game, they lose a game and they're like, we're throwing the biggest party. We're getting as drunk as possible as a team. And I'll tell you what, some of those things help though. Like just blowing off steam and remembering like the game is a game and it's fun. Yes, you're here. But I never thought it was just a game. It is a complete business. And if I sucked on 10 reps in a row, I'm out. Somebody else is going in, taking my position. So I understood that. But when you're off the field and there are some games that I would be like, I'm going to drink at a bar I've never been to and I hope nobody recognizes me. But sometimes you're like, man, we just got to go out and have a good time. You know, it sucks we lost. Let's put it behind us. We have, and especially if it's a preseason game, not a preseason, out of conference game. You're like, you know what? We have the whole Big Ten and we can still be competitive and win. That was a little longer. Long-winded stadium. But if I'm not going to lie, don't watch Blue Mountain State, but I kind of loved it. So I think you should watch it also.
All right.
It's so bad.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Let's get to a couple of non-football questions, Bernie. I kind of like these non-football questions a little bit. We'll start with an easier one. They just want to know a little bit more about us. What sports or what teams do you and I follow outside of obviously the Badgers and college football? Well, I mean, if you've listened to the podcast at all, you know that we are both AFC East guys. Bernie's Jets, my Bills. Bern, what else are you into?
I mean, I watch the Knicks playoffs, but I'm not, I mean, I don't watch a lot of Knicks basketball games in general. I mean, I've had a lot of time on my hands. I'm a Mets fan. And outside of that, I think that's really it. I don't watch a lot of sports that is not football or baseball.
Football, baseball. Yeah. You're a simple man. You're a simple man. Yeah.
Are there other sports outside of those? I mean, listen, I would watch more. I mean, I watch golf sometimes. I put it on, but I couldn't tell you who's, you know, who. I think it's – I love watching those dudes to be like, man, I wish I could do that one day. Just one hit would be fun like that.
It would be.
What about you, Matt Perkins?
That'll never be me. I'm not a huge golf guy in terms of playing it, mostly because I have back problems and it really hurts my back to play golf. But obviously – football. I grew up on the Atlanta Braves. I still love the Atlanta Braves. You know, living in Western New York and, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire and stuff like that. The only way we got baseball was TBS in a lot of ways. And so I got my Braves baseball all through the 90s. I got completely addicted. So yeah, love the Braves. But outside of like my big sports outside of football that I really follow, Formula One and tennis. Obviously I played rugby for 10 years. I've talked about that. I love track and field, obviously still very much in tune with track and field. But if I can, if the TV's on the weekend, it's not football, it's usually the tennis channel, in my house, men's tennis, women's tennis, you know, Jess Pegula, who's the daughter of the owner of the Bills, is, you know, top five player in the world. She's a great person on social media, great follow. I'm a big fan of Jess. I love tennis. I just find tennis in terms of like solo athletic endeavors, like, you know, like not team sports, right? Individual sports. I think tennis is just the best combination of athleticism and intellect, and just it's such a I just think tennis is such a fun sport. It's such a great sport. I'm not a pickleball guy. No, I'm not here for pickleball whatsoever. I'm only here for real proper tennis. And yeah, give me Formula One, give me motorsports in general, but definitely give me Formula One. That's my motorsport of preference. I've been to a couple NASCAR races. I enjoy a good NASCAR race. Is
you are from the South, dude. You are from
I'm
the
not
South.
From the South. Well, I just happen
there.
To live
you're
there. No,
there
I've
now.
been to Martinsville. I've been to Martinsville for a race in Virginia. That was awesome. I was the winner of a contest, like an online contest to be Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s fastest fan was the name of the contest. And like you had to submit a video, my video won. And so they took me and my then girlfriend, now wife, and we got to bring two people. So we brought both of our dads. My wife and her dad are both like huge, huge, huge NASCAR fans, both big Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr. people. And so we went and got to stay in our own private, freaking like what's the word I'm looking for, Bernie? Like camper.
Sweet.
Camper. On, oh. Like on the track, like at turn three in Martinsville, got to meet Junior, got to meet, hang out with Richard Petty and watch the, so, like the support race with him. That was really interesting. And then freaking Dale Jr. won the race. It was like one of his last wins, if not his last win before he retired. And I got to be in Victory Row. Like I got to be on the stage in Victory Row. While, like that was such a surreal experience. So, I mean, I really enjoy motorsports. It's wild. You know, my goal is to get to a couple F1 races. I really want to go to Montreal, but yeah, motorsports and tennis outside of football and a little bit of baseball. So.
Matt Perkins, you are an interesting dude. I am the most simple human being ever, I guess.
I would not say that is true at all.
It's all good. It's all good. I love football. I'm obsessed with it. So outside of that, yeah.
So am I. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing this if we were not obsessed with it.
Listen, I know in my future, I am going to be a soccer coach, a basketball coach, or whatever, lacrosse coach, like a coach of every sport there is for my girls. But right now, I don't know the rules for a bunch of those sports. I just love football. It's funny. I've always had this thought of like, dude, NASCAR is – one time I was sitting at La Ciel. This is a Wisconsin story, yeah. So it kind of works. Matt Lawrence from Delaware – he was an old lineman. Dude loved NASCAR. And he had a 30-pack of Busch Light. So I'm sitting on a couch. He's sitting next to me. In between us is like a coffee table. And I'm like, man, Matt, you like this? They're just driving in circles. He's like, dude, he has a slow draw. I don't know. He's like, man, this is great. All right. I drink a couple of beers with him. I passed it. I fell asleep. I'm like, this is so boring to me. This dude, I wake up like a couple hours. First off, they're still driving around. This a couple hours later or an hour later. This guy must have had like he must have put away like 20 beers, like 20 Busch Lights. I looked at him and he looked completely fine. You know, old linemen can just pack them back. I was like, man, maybe I should like this sport. It's like golf for me. Like you can go out and drink, a 12-pack, 18-pack and feel great about it. Feel great about how bad you're playing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I
like that question.
It's great. I've been to Loudoun in New Hampshire with a bunch of my New Hampshire friends where I went to high school. My parents still live. One of my buddies from high school used to work at the Loudoun track for a while, so we could get like passes and stuff like that. And man, there is something very, very cool about being at a race in person for the weekend, right? Because whether it's NASCAR, Formula One, MotoGP, or whatever your motorsport of choice is, if you're there and like you're camping out, like you have a camper, you have whatever, however, but you're staying at the track, you're staying at the facility, like waking up on a Sunday morning before or Saturday morning before a race, Sunday morning before a race, like there is, it's like being at like the tailgate for a football game. But when you wake up, you are in the tailgate. Like your eyes are waking. You step out of your camper. You step out of your tent, and it is like you just stepped into like the tailgate. Like the brats are going and everything like that. Everyone's had 20 Busch Lights already. So I think that those are really cool experiences. I would highly recommend going to a NASCAR race, at least from personal experience. Also, if you get a chance, I've been to I played rugby for a long time. Obviously, I've been to a Six Nations match, Italy versus Scotland in Rome. That was epic. And those aren't even two, like, I mean, Scotland's a big rugby nation. Italy is like a semi-big rugby nation. I obviously went to a bunch of rugby matches when I lived in Australia and was playing rugby down there. Big time rugby matches are in a lot of ways, similar to a big time football game in America, right? And the crowds are into it. There's a pregame, people walking around. Like it is so, so, so much fun. So okay, Bern, we're gonna finish it off here though with I have to say, Sam, I don't know where you're from. What a question. What a freaking question. They want to know who's on our Mount Rushmore of Mats. Who are the Mount Rushmore of Mats? Who are the four greatest Mats? And now, obviously, I think, I'm going to exclude present company from. So we have to choose four people that are outside of this current podcast recording. Bern, do you have your four? I've got my four. Do you want me to?
I do not have my four. Let me hear your four.
Okay. So there, I put As a person who runs the IG account, in the Twitter account, I get to see these first, but I put them in our notes, share them. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this yesterday. I spent too much of my work day thinking about who are the greatest Mats.
Oh boy.
So, I'm going to start, in athletics. My first top four Mat of all time is Matthew Biondi. I don't know if any of you listening who know who that is. Bernie, I don't know if you know who that is. He is probably one of the five greatest swimmers of all time. He 8 Olympic golds. He's Australian. He was right before Michael Phelps. Matt Biondi is one of the greatest swimmers of all time. And I think, you know, I'm a huge Olympics guy. I love Olympic sports in general. I just love sports. I mean, who am I kidding? But Matt Biondi, 2000, 2004, was absolutely dominating. And he was, I think he's got to be up there. Thought a lot about a couple different football players to add to this list. Matt Judon in the NFL, Matt Ryan, MVP, Matt Stafford, Super Bowl champ. But Bernie, I'm an Olympics guy, and to me, an Olympic gold medal trumps a lot of things. So I went with Matt Centrowitz, who won the 1500 meters track and field guy, in Rome. He's a 5-time national champion. I have an immense amount of respect for Matt Centrowitz. He's still out there doing it. Still going to be at Olympic trials this year. If I'd gone with a football player, I probably would have gone with Matt Stafford over Matt Ryan just because of the ring. But I'm going to go with Matt Biondi and Matt Centrowitz as my two guys there. A lot of interesting actors named Matt, Bernie. A lot of good actors. Matthew McConaughey, thought about him. Matthew Modine. Matthew Broderick, but I ended up on Matt Damon because there are just too many Matt Damon movies that I really just enjoy watching. The entire Bourne trilogy, obviously, are just awesome movies. And I think Matt Damon's body of work for out of all those guys, I think I'll take Matt Damon. And then finally, I want to give a quick shout out to Matthew Inman. If any of you have ever heard of The Oatmeal, which is an online sort of cartoon, like he created something called like Exploding Kitties, which is like a great board game and stuff like that. Matthew Inman of The Oatmeal, shout out to you. But I think my final person might be the most notable or most influential Matt that there has been. And that's Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons. And I don't know if you're really going to find someone who has as much cultural cachet or cultural importance as him. So in review, Matt Biondi, swimmer, Matt Centrowitz, 1500 meter gold medalist, Matt Damon, and Matt Groening. That is my Mount Rushmore of Matt's. And Bernie, you don't like that at all. So I am curious to hear yours.
I don't dislike it. I have no idea who some of those people are. Matt Groening, obviously, if everyone should know that. It's a great trivia question. Mine is not so grandiose. First off, Matt Damon is my number one. He's the Matt Damon. Yeah. If you ever watch the end of one of the Entourages, like his meltdown scene is the funniest thing. The Martian, pretty much everything he's ever done in The Bourne. I mean, literally, when he comes on, dude, he's in the Avengers movies. Like, he's in Thor, Love and Thunder, Ragnarok.
I have no idea. I'm more of a Good Will Hunting guy myself. You know, that's more of my Matt Damon type of movie.
We can talk about him. We can talk about Matt Damon all day. He's done so many great things. I think he's hilarious. I trickled down to people that have some kind of relationship to me and maybe football. Matt Prater, kicker for 20-something years. Me and him were really good friends. We didn't get drafted. We got signed to the Lions together. And he continued to, you know, they caught him. They had a guy who was a little bit over, Hansen maybe was his name. He was a great Bill kicker. Hansen. And he was just, they signed him for a bunch of years, so they couldn't cut him. And Prater never gave up. He's a little weird guy, but
You have to be a kicker. Years. You have to be a little bit weird to be a professional kicker.
Yeah, and he was extremely confident, and he had a great leg. So I'm going to go with him.
I like that.
Another one of our favorites, Matt Shaughnessy. Love Matt Shaughnessy.
I did.
D-end, I played with him. He played for the Raiders for a while.
Another Northeast guy, nice guy from Connecticut.
Another Northeast guy. And then I got kind of stuck. Like, there's a lot of people you could put in as my fourth slot, but it's a weird Matt or Matthew is not. There's a lot of people, but it's not super ridiculous.
It's weird, right? Because like in America, I know I'm born in 85. Matthew was the single most common name for a male born in 85.
Is that so interesting?
And I mean, Bern, it's pretty much the same for you in 82. Like we see, that's why at one point, I think there was something like 6 or 7 starting quarterbacks at the same time in the league named Matt. It was Ryan Stafford, Matt Schaub, Matt Moore. I'm blanking on some other ones at the moment, but there were like 5, 6, 7 Matts starting and no doubles of any other name. Sometime like 2014, 2015, something like that. So it's crazy. I don't know.
It's a great question. It's just a harder. I mean, I guess that makes sense. We're both Matts. Yeah. So yeah. But it's a harder question than I thought.
Well, Bernie, I need you to choose a fourth. I need you to choose a fourth right now.
I have to like really look at it. I mean, I got the three and then I'm like, Matt Lauer? Like there's so many Matt Liners. People.
Oh, Matt Lauer, you do not want to be on your...
No, but he's on the list of like Matt's.
Famous,
when you
but he's not. I think of greatness and Matt Lauer has done enough.
Wait, Matt Liner is... I like that guy.
Matt Liner is awesome.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Matt Lauer, all right, I'll not take so much. But yeah, you want to take Matt?
No, Matt Lauer.
Matt Liner, I love that choice, Bernie. I love that choice.
Yeah, okay, cool. Beautiful. Thank you for your help. Literally, I'm going through, I'm like, oh my goodness. It seems like a lot of like, let's say B-listers.
I like
that. I'm an F-lister, so it doesn't matter. But like, there are some B-listers.
I'm not even close to the list, so.
Matt Damon, 100%.
Matt Damon's only true A-lister. I mean, I guess you could say McConaughey's an A-lister, but
I really like him too.
His movies,
he's a Texas
for the
fan
most,
and I can't get into
he's,
it.
He is a Texas fan. And B, like, most of his movies are fine, but they're not, like, for me, they're not like, oh my gosh, I'm going to rewatch that movie, except for maybe Interstellar. But like
Interstellar is phenomenal.
It is. It's a great movie. But I don't think I will if I am scrolling through channels and one of the Bourne movies is on, I'm probably stopping, just letting it play. And to me, that is one of the highest compliments you can give a movie.
What about The Martian? I watch it every single time it's on. It's one dude pretty much on in Mars the entire time, and I love it.
I'm not. It's just great. It's not that. That's definitely not like that's probably not a top five.
Listen, Matt Perkins. Go to YouTube and Google the Matt Damon Entourage part at the it's like a edited, it's like a scene after the credits. I almost peed in my pants how much I was laughing. Like it's outrageously funny. He's just unbelievable as an actor. Okay. And Matt Liner, I really do like that guy.
So to review, you've got Prater, Shaughnessy, Damon, and Leinart.
And I'm probably forgetting so many.
I'm sure we are. I'm sure we're forgetting them. I've got Centrowitz, Biondi, Damon, and Groening.
So the list are ridiculous, but I actually love the question.
It's
a hard question.
I spent way too much time thinking about that, and you know, rethinking it, talking it out with you a little bit more. I might replace Centrowitz with either Liner to Stafford. Like Matt Liner was so freaking good in college. He was so good, Heisman Trophy winner. Oh, that's tough. I'm gonna leave Centrowitz because of my track biases. I can't believe I don't have a football player in there. But and also like I got to meet Matt Judon a couple weeks ago. He was an awesome, awesome guy. Like super funny, super nice. Like, you know, he rocketed up my standings there with that, even though I am anything but a Patriots fan. As much as I, you know, I've been hanging out with James White a lot. He's trying to turn me. It's not going to work. I'm sorry, sweet feet. But, you know, Judon was a great guy, but I'm going to stick with Centrowitz for right now. Thank you, Sam. Like, that was an awesome question. Awesome, awesome question.
Awesome. And if you Google, like when you Google all the Mets, like there's a lot of it seems like B-listers, right? Am I wrong?
It's Matt Damon and B-listers. Yeah.
And well, Matt Damon and
McConaughey,
what's his name? McConaughey. And then it's like all these guys from, what's it called?
Matthew
Friends.
LeBlanc, Matthew Perry. Like I said, Modine, Broderick.
Yeah, Groening's up here. That's so cool. Broderick. Yeah, I like Broderick actually a lot.
Broderick's
a good
actor.
I saw him in a play in where was I? Europe.
He's a really like accomplished stage actor on top of
The Producers.
Yeah.
I didn't like the play, but I liked him in it.
The play, the Producers is a, you didn't like The Producers?
No, I thought, no, not really.
Matt
Forte. Wow.
Matt Forte.
Okay, there's a football guy.
Oh gosh, there's a name I hadn't thought about in a while. Yeah, a lot of Matts out there. Let us know who your favorite Matts are in the comments here for this episode.
Is that your guy?
Who?
Matt LaFleur?
Matt LaFleur? He's the coach of the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would he be my guy? I'm not a Packer fan.
So, all right. So I'm actually putting him up because I'm a Packers fan, kind of.
Just
by way of
by marriage. Yeah.
By marriage.
You're a Packers fan.
So many Matts. So many BC listeners. Like, hard question because they're just, I tried to keep it like within people I really enjoyed being around and playing. But, and also, I don't know Matt Damon for a hole in the wall. But,
you spent a lot of time watching him.
He's my best friend. She just doesn't know it yet. Matt Damon.
Well, I think with that is the perfect place for us to wrap up here today. Thank you so much for everyone who sent in questions. You can always keep them coming. We do periodic mailbags like this, and we love to hear from everyone who is tuning in around the country, around the world. With that, it's time to wrap up for today here on Believe in Badgers, part of the Believe Network, presented by BetOnline.ag and Oak Bridge Wealth Management. We appreciate everyone. Until next time, on Wisconsin.
Yeah, just everyone go drink a beer in a field somewhere for like feeling like you're in high school.
Yeah. Or if you're a... Oh God!
If you're an adult, just drink a beer in your patio.
Well, I was gonna say, grab a 30 rack of Bush Light, and
and call Matt Lawrence. He might come over.
Maybe Matt Lawrence.
No matter where you
live. Matt Lawrence should have made our Mount Rushmore.
Matt Lawrence. I mean, he could have for drinking probably a 24 to 30 pack of Bush Light in a sitting. I guess if you count like 4 hours of driving in circles, a sitting. Sure.
Why not?
I'll take it.
What a freaking question.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries? Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.